Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. And today we're playing a classic series I have on holiness. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. And God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto them the word of reconciliation. Yes, we are reconciled to God. Our sins are not imputed against us, but the Bible says, be holy. What know you not? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Walking holy is required for walking in the dunamis power of God. It's not just to get you into heaven, it's what is required for power. Shalom.
Who hadn't been saved. She always wanted to get saved and would come to church, but she just didn't believe she was worthy to get saved. And that night they had an altar service. We're going to have an altar service tonight. And that woman came forth, but she just couldn't believe. And she left the building. And when she left the building, that little girl, they said the only thing that ever changed about her, she was there almost 10 hours, was a tear trickled down her face when that woman left the building. That woman got outside the building and she said, I could not go. I had to come back. A power pulled me back. She came back in the building. She came down there to that altar, but she still couldn't believe she was good enough to get saved. And she left again after an hour or so. And when she did, one tear trickled down that girl's face. It happened two or three times. They stayed there all the night. The lady finally came back in and received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Brother Hagin was able to lead her to the Lord, and when he did, the girl was released. Power for purpose. See, Brother Hagin was wondering why he didn't see those things consistently like they used to, and why so many people were sick. And here's what the Lord told him. As I was thinking about this, the Spirit of God said to my spirit, yes, and the consecration of my people was greater too. The consecration of my people was greater too. Let that soak in, Brother Hagin said. Whether we choose to consecrate ourselves to obey God or choose not to obey God affects every other area of our lives as well. In other words, it could be one reason why so many are sick. I'm thoroughly convinced of the truth of what the Lord said to me. The consecration of believers was much deeper 50 years ago than it is today. Believers' appreciation and reverence for the things of God and the move of the Holy Ghost was much deeper too. See the reverence for God? And as a result, God honored that depth of consecration and reverence by giving his people great manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Believers today need greater consecration and dedication to God. In the churches I pastored in the 40s, we used to gather around the altar and pray at the end of nearly every service. We're going to do it tonight. We often sang the old hymn, Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid? We're going to do it tonight. We don't sing hymns like that much anymore, but many folks today need to heed the message of some of these old scriptural hymns. It seems that many believers are willing to lay some things on the altar, but not all. But for God's plan in their life is hindered. And many of his blessings are withheld because they have not totally consecrated themselves to do God's will instead of their own. Ministers need to teach about consecration so people's hearts will be stirred to surrender everything to God and to consecrate themselves wholly to follow God's plan for their lives. One time, Kathy Caseman was having a Woman of the Word meeting, and she asked Shelley to lead the singing. And I don't know if you know it or not, but you probably couldn't even guess, but Shelley is basically shy. She really is. And she didn't want to do it. She kept calling Kathy and saying, "Oh, Kathy, please don't. I don't want to do that." And Kathy got where she would refuse her calls. So she said to the Lord, "Lord, they want me to lead worship. What do you consider worship? Is it a fast song? Is it a slow song? What do you say worship is?" And the Lord said to Shelley, "Worship is Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I think some translations say worship. Does anybody have an amplified? What does it say? Worship?
Spiritual worship.
Let me read that. Let me read that out of the amplified to you. "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship." Now, the reason why that you don't understand that word service is because you may not understand the Old Testament worship. And there were those who served God in the temple, and their service was worship. But that's the way of the Eastern languages. So the Amplified brings it out to you that for you, your worship of God is that you give Him your body. Your spirit is born again. You are filled with the Holy Ghost, but you must put your body up on that altar of sacrifice. You must give Him your tongue. That's why you don't tell dirty jokes. That's why you don't abuse your wife with your tongue. You gave it to the Holy Ghost in worship. That's why you don't take your eyes and watch much that's put forth through the media today, because your eyeballs are on the altar. You remember what David said? "Put a guard over my eyes." Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why you don't go certain places. You give Him your hands and your feet. That is your worship. I think he said to Shelley, he said, "They can be singing and it looks like they're worshiping. But what did they do the day before and the next day? What do they do with their hands, their feet, their lives, their bodies?" That's our worship. Turn to Romans 6 and you'll see it there. Now these first generation ones, they saw it. They gave Him their bodies and He used their bodies. In Romans 6 we see it. Romans 6, 11. The Hebrew word for altar, I think I'll tell you that, what it means. The Hebrew word for altar, its literal meaning is the killing place. We're coming to the altar tonight. I want you to know that. Romans 6, 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Don't let sin have your mouth. Don't let sin have your ears. Don't let sin, you could say Satan. Sin and Satan stand for the same thing. We'll read it like that. Let not Satan therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey him in the lust thereof, or your body in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members, your arms, your legs, your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness unto God. Bless the Lord. I found in studying these people's lives that after, and also not just in the books, I'm going to tell you about David Duplessis and what he told me. After they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, after God came into them, after they were cleansed with the blood and they realized they're the holy temple of God, they went through a process of laying their all on the altar. And I'm going to read you about that, their lives. First, we'll take John G. Lake. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Instantly, upon being baptized in the Spirit, I expected to see the sick healed in a greater degree and in larger numbers than I had known before. And for a time, I seemed to be disappointed. How little we know of our own relationship to God. How little I knew of my own relationship to Him. For day by day, for 6 months, following my baptism in the Holy Ghost, the Lord revealed to me many things in my life where repentance, confession, and restitution were necessary. And yet, I had repented long ago. Oh, the deep cleansing, the deep revelations of one's own heart by the Holy Ghost. It was indeed as John the Baptist said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Have you ever heard Norval Hayes talk about the time God came in his car and killed him? He told me it was like chaff was burning in his life. First then I will say, the baptism in the Holy Ghost meant to me a heart searching, as I had never before known, with no rest, until in every instance the blood was consciously applied and my life set free from the particular thing that God had revealed. As I say, this process continued for 6 months after my baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, I found that they all went through that. Here's a man, think how good that would do us. If before someone went up to minister the power of God.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim, and what you have heard today is from my classic in-depth teaching on holiness. We'll send you the CDs of the entire series, which normally sell for $72, but we're offering them to you today for $35. Just phone us at 1-800-972-3447 and ask for the classic series on holiness. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, Shalom.